Since introduce the topic, but the topic is going to be Heather telling her story tonight. And I think that most of us that are in this room, I know I've been around here a long time. And I look at a lot of gray hairs of people who have been around a long time. And Heather was at my very first AA meeting when I, you know, hit town. And she's been a consistent around here. And I've watched her go through so much stuff. And I was actually thinking about, you know, her attitude and stuff. And, you know, she always would try to make you laugh and smile, no matter what. And she had some stuff going on in her life. And but I'll let her tell that. I love you. I am so glad that you said yes, and I'm glad that it turned out this way. And I just know that if we trust God, clean house, and help other people, our lives will get better, and you're a good example of that. So come on up and do what you got to do. So.
Hey, I'm Heather, and I'm an alcoholic. And this is overwhelming. There's a lot of people here that were at my very first meeting. And I love this place, and I love it. All of you, I do. But I'm not gonna cry through the whole damn thing. Happy birthday to everyone. Dana, Herb, Victor. That is awesome. And the guy, I don't know the guy with 60 days, but Russell, happy 60 days. All right. Well, let's see. I was born on March 16th, 1971. Anyway, I grew up in Atlanta and in Brookhaven, and my childhood is like kind of crazy. I had a very good family, but a very crazy family. A lot of love and a lot of other stuff too. My home was over my grandmother's beauty shop for many years, and I spent a lot of time with her. And she actually was in the Olympics in Berlin, Germany. She actually met Hitler. When I first married Carl, he was like, "Oh, that's bullshit," you know. But it was true. She really did. But she was a very tough woman. I'm very nervous. So was my mom. Just very tough women. But my house was crazy. It could be great. I was actually played ball for like 12 years for my dad. And we were one way at the ballpark. And, you know, I saw a lot of stuff. I saw my dad stab my mom. I saw them fight really bad over the years. And, anyway, but still they were both really good to me. When I was 10, I smoked pot for the first time. I know this is Alcoholics Anonymous, but, yeah, anyway. When I was 12, I was working in a movie theater, and two of the guys that were managers got alcohol, and so the very first time I ever drank, I got drunk as a dog off of brown liquor, threw up, forgot everything, and felt horrible for like 2 days. But initially I was like, "Oh, I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again," you know. But that lasted like a week. But I said I grew up in Brookhaven. My house, literally, you could walk to the Brookhaven MARTA station from my house. So for a young alcoholic and drug addict, that was awesome. Like, I could hit MARTA for 65 cents, go to Little Five, Virginia Highlands, you know, and my parents never knew where I was. But so that was, I loved it. I mean, I really did. And a lot of people always talk about feeling different. And our meeting last night was on self-acceptance. I don't remember, but I mean, you know, I just told you I had some chaotic stuff going on. I don't remember feeling different. I do remember liking the way that I felt when I drank and used and wanting to do it more. anyway, anyway, when I was 16, my parents had like the big final finale fight, and they got a divorce. And my mom moved me from Brookhaven to Dallas, Georgia, which I was like, what the hell? But y'all all look so serious. Pipe up. Come on. Seriously, like, come on. It's not that serious. I mean, it's serious, but I want to start off by saying I should have said this. You know, Dana picked up a chip. You don't ever have to drink again. That has not been my experience. And in the light of the current environment, I don't want to hurt anybody, you know. So I just want to say I have drank again after time, and I don't want to. You don't have to. You don't ever have to, you know, you don't ever have to drink again. And there's a lot of people in here that I came in with that I know did not. But anyway. My mom, we moved to Dallas, and there was absolutely nothing to do in Dallas, so I met some guys that had alcohol and drugs. and right away, I quit school once I got out there and got, I met my first husband there, you know, and he was such a great guy. But anyway, we'll get into that later. But I was what we all are. I was just balls to the wall every day doing whatever I wanted. 16 years old, driving a Yugo from Atlanta to Dallas on a weekend basis and just being like crazy. I was just completely crazy. And, but I did meet this guy, and, we ended up moving in together when I was, you know, just a fast forward past all that other crazy shit that y'all have all done. We moved in together and got a little apartment in Smyrna. And, you know, when I was 18, I got pregnant with my first son, Dustin, who would be 31 years old on the 30th of this month. But we were just wild and crazy. I mean, we had Dustin, we had Austin. I stayed sober for the 9 months, both times except for once. I drank one time during each pregnancy. But when I did drink, I drank the whole bottle of champagne each time. We came out to Woodstock because my first husband re-chromed bumpers for a living. And they had a chrome shop in Canton. And so we moved out here, and I wish I could calm down. I'm still really nervous. But do we have like a water or something? And I did go have my lips done, so if I look like Daffy Duck, you'll know why. I'd made that appointment before I decided that, you know, Aunt Danny asked me. Little vanity character defect there, but anyway, didn't realize it would look like this, so anyway, we moved out here, and I wanted to be a good mom, but, I was drinking, and, you know, I didn't drink, like I said, for the two pregnancies, but one time, but it was crazy. And my husband was a crackhead. And I will tell this story because Ferrari, he wants me to tell this story, so I'm going to tell it. This will give you an insight into my life. We were living in some apartments in Woodstock, and all the apartments were getting robbed except ours and one other guy who's in the program now. But the cops were coming every day, and I would talk to them and, you know, get them coffee and... One day I went to go take the vacuum, you know, the old vacuums, you pull the thing out to empty it, and there was jewelry in there. And so I called my husband, I'm like, you're the white rabbit of the apartment. I'm like, we are moving today. But anyway, he was the one robbing all the apartments. And he was. And I was very naive. I always say Bill's naive, but this week when I've been thinking over my life, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of naive too. But but anyway, these Jehovah Witnesses came by and asked me if I wanted to read with them. At night, you know, I told you he was smoking crack. And so a lot of times at night it would just be me and the kids. And I would sing them the only songs that I knew. Jesus Loves Me, This Little Light of Mine, you know. And these people came by and asked me if I wanted to read with them. And so I started reading with Jehovah Witnesses on a weekly basis. And they were the most loving people. They were so loving. And not judgmental. I do remember one instance where I offered them something to drink, and when I hit the threshold of the kitchen, I realized that my pot was up there. So I was like, ah, I don't have anything. I was like, but they kept wanting me to go to church, but their church was in the evening, and I was always not in a good place by then. But I read with them for like 6 months, and my husband at the time had gone to a treatment center to get off crack, and they gave him a phone number. Well, on January the 1st, 1994, it was a guy who's in the program now, who was the other guy that apartment didn't get robbed. We were hanging out with him. And I don't know why, but I cared a lot what this guy thought about me. And he was kind of cute. I know I was married, but I'm just being honest. But anyway, I wasn't going to do anything. I'm just saying. But I showed my butt, and the next day, it just affected me really bad. And I told you, I was praying. I was singing with the kids. I didn't want my kids to grow up bad, you know. And so I ended up on January the 2nd, 1994, I called here. That was the phone number. And I didn't get to come until that Friday night, which my son Austin was 2 years old. On January the 6th, 1994, he would have been 2 years old. And I came to my very first meeting. It was Friday night beginners group. And immediately, I knew that I didn't know that. I've said this a million times, and it seems weird, but I didn't know the Serenity Prayer. I did not know the Lord's Prayer. I had no idea how everybody knew the prayers. But I just felt excited. You know, it was like, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to try it. And, you know, me and my husband were both still smoking pot. And so we made a decision that I'd quit drinking, he'd quit smoking crack, but we would still smoke pot. And so I was coming to the meetings, you know. And this, I made friends with a girl, and she would come by, but I would spray Lysol, you know. And one day I was out of Lysol. And, and she came in, and she was like, it smells like pot in here. And I'm like, but okay, at the time, Hal Place was smoking. And so everybody's eyes were red in here. And I'm like, oh, y'all aren't completely straight. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't do anything. And she's like, no, we don't do anything. And so I was like, okay then. So that night I came to the 10 o'clock meeting, and I picked up a white chip, and after that, my husband really didn't want to have anything to do with it. You know, he was just not okay with it. And that was okay. You know, my very first sponsor was a lady named Mary who, she helped me so much. I mean, I had two little kids. I had no clue. She would say, I remember her telling me, I'm like, what do I wear? She goes, oh, just watch soap operas. You'll figure it out. You know, I'm like, okay. But she helped me with everything. I mean, I had no idea how to raise two children, you know. And she helped me with everything. And so one night I saw he had been gone for a couple of days. And I saw him at the store. And the boys, you know, it was me and the boys. And I'm like, come home. And for 6 months I had been praying, you know, for God's will about everything. But I was, every night I was saying, just bring him home to me, God. Just bring him home to me. And that night when I got home, I said, whatever your will is for him, let it be done. And the next morning, his mother was crying by my bedside. And I said, what is it? Because I'm thinking it's drugs or something, you know, we could get him out of. and he had gotten arrested for armed robbery. And he was in the paper. They called him the notorious T-shirt bandit in Canton. I mean, seriously. He robbed four freaking stores. Anyway, but they only caught him for one. But anyway, the next few months, I had some things going on that probably weren't the best, and I kept talking. I'm not going to go into all that here, but anyway, my sponsor just kept saying, put a lid on it, give it 2 weeks, you know. And he ultimately went to prison for 5 years. But at that time, I really was very new to the whole God's will thing. So at the I thought that my prayer got him put in jail. And I was very afraid to pray for God's will after that. It's like, okay. Because he's like, I said it one time and you sent him to prison. But anyway, so I would write these long letters like, God, please just let Terry stay out so he can pay child support. And, you know, I mean, I thought it was Santa Claus. You know, I did. I mean, I had no concept. And so the day that we went to court, the day that I pulled up, I was by myself. And The Dance by Garth Brooks came on the radio. And I knew it was like, it was all, I did love him. You know, I still love him. And he went to prison for 5 years, but it was the best thing that could have happened for my children at that time. And anyway, I ended up, didn't wait long, jumped right in with a guy up here. And we, you know, we're alcoholic. I mean, if you say you don't do that, you're full of it. But anyway, I mean, there might be a few. I mean, but there's very few. But kudos to you. But I met a guy that actually I think has like 32 years now, and we got together. We were very involved in the program, very involved in Gicky Paw and Icky Paw. I went to Icky Paw for my honeymoon in Anaheim, California, and it was wonderful. I mean, standing up here tonight, just looking at everybody, Alcoholics Anonymous is, I can't even, you know, it's my life. It has been my life since I was 23 years old, and I'm so grateful for that. But we rocked along and did really well. And I'm going to just tell the truth, okay? I was in a meeting, and a guy, you know, things weren't going real well. I had a two-year-old. The guy across the table had blue eyes, and he was listening to every word I was saying, and things weren't going well in the marriage. And the book says it's plain as day on page 69. Read it, and that shit's not kidding. You know, if you continue to hurt others, you are sure to drink. And I made some decisions. I was coming up on 7 years. I ended up drinking again. And I was out for, that's the longest I've ever been out. I was out for 2 years. And the first year, alcoholism is so weird, because the first year, even my husband, who was an alcoholic, was like, you know, maybe you're not, you know. And that second year, I mean, he's like, get some help. But I didn't, you know, you after being here like at 31, coming up on 7 years, like you don't want to come back and go, oh, I was wrong, you know. Our egos are just so ridiculous. But I waited until, you know, it was really, really. I was in a parking lot one day, and I called a lady who I used to call my aunt, and she said, can you feel it? And I said, what? And she said, the prayers I've been saying for you. And that thing that is here tonight, that is in me, that helps me to live and breathe, it just said, you can't do it. You can't do it. You got it. And I was mad. I came back. I was so mad. It's like, that's it. You know, it's like, I'm back. Yeah, I'm here. I was just so mad. I mean, I know some of y'all remember. I was not happy. But and I really struggled that first year coming back. I did. I tried to take Adderall and still. And some people can. I can't. I can't do jack. Like even gas. If they give me, I got gas. You know, I'm like, give me the gas to take home. But I can't even do that. But came back in, and I knew what to do. You know, I jumped in, got really involved, and was, and I don't know how to do, just tell how it is. Was going to some meet, you know, some meetings, involved, just doing the deal, and getting fatter by the day, sitting in the meeting with three guys that were taking Adderall successfully. I have ADD, you know, I do. I mean, I know that, and went and got on it. I was coming up on 5 years, and I was drunk within a week, And that time I went out probably about a year, and same thing again. You know, I was still with Carl. I mean, and I remember him saying, well, either you're going to have to move or get sober. And I'm like, well, let me get out and look for an apartment. I'll find one somewhere. And but, you know, then that moment of clarity comes, and it's like, you know, I had two little boys, you know, and three little boys, and but two that were getting up on it, you know what I mean? And so came back, I did come back, and I went to IOP at Ridgeview for several weeks, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful. The guy that was my counselor was he had facilitated a maximum security prison for men, and he just wasn't having it because I was such a brat, you know, and he was just like, shut up. I mean, he just told me, you know, you might have been in denial the first time, but you're just in plain refusal. You know, you are in plain refusal. And he kept wanting me to do a life history, and I'm like, nope, nope, nope. And I did it in a group of peers. And all of that stuff that I talked about at the beginning, you know, being sober, I'm like, well, my childhood was crazy, but I forgive everybody. I'm good. Let's, you know, mold over it in the fourth and fifth. And I wasn't. I mean, it was a sad, there was some sad stuff that happened. And when I told that story, everybody in there was crying. And it's like, damn, this is some, you know, I mean, Carmen said, she was talking about like her parents stabbing each other, and I'm like, oh, I can relate to that. But, you know, like, my sister. but I came back in, and I will say, you don't have to drink over anything, but I really would have never thought that I would have drank again. I came in, I did, you know, I know how to work the program. I've been doing it for a long time. I know how to work the program. And, you know, people will say, well, I drank because I quit going to meetings. I drank because I did this. I drank because I did that. That shit, it'll come at you. If it can't get you here, it'll get you here. I mean, I have to be telling people, like, what I'm thinking. And I do. I mean, because I am just crazy. I am nuts. And I will lie to myself, you know. I mean, it's so crazy, but anyway, I ended up getting a divorce not long after I came back, and the sponsor who, God rest her soul, that Pat hooked me up with, I called her, and I'm like, we got to work the steps, and she said, Heather, you know how to work the program. You need to learn to stand on your own 2 feet, and I did. You know, I got out. I did leave Carl, and that was just, Carl's a very good man, and he was very good to my children. We gave them a great home. We loved them very much, and AA loved them. AA loved them. But so I started working at FedEx at night with my oldest son, and started knocking on doors during the day for a guy. And from that, I started selling cars. And I did that for like a year, and then begged this girl. I mean, selling cars is rough. And especially if you're trying to be honest, like, it's not good. But you know what I'm saying? But I did real well at it. But I kept telling this girl, get me a job, get me a job, get me a job. she did. And I ended up getting into the industry I'm in now. But I did meet Bill in the rooms. And that's, you know, crazy. Like, I was like, you want to go get something to eat? He's like, I already ate. But that's why I say, like, really? Come on. Okay. Let me go get a bat. But he's been through it with me. He's been through it with me. You know, my son died on my sobriety date. You know, he died July 14th, 2014. Me and Bill and Carmen were all sitting at the pool, and a kid called me and said, Dustin doesn't look good. And I had just talked to him that morning. He called me, hey, my kids were a lot like me. Hey, what you doing? I'm like, you sound kind of rough. You okay? Oh, yeah. And but these kids called, and they said, he doesn't look good. And I said, then bring him home. And I didn't know the depth of the situation. They pulled up, and he was dead. And we got him out of the car, and I tried to give him mouth to mouth, and he was gone. And the ambulance came, they took him. I got there, the guy looked at me and said, your son's alive. I called Bill, I'm like, he's alive. And I got upstairs, and the doctor said, he's alive, but he's brain dead. And, you know, my son, he was a sponsored skateboarder. He was the sweetest heart in the world. I mean, just no judgment on people, just, you know, just like how we are. Just like how we are. And one of the most beautiful souls I've ever met, you know. And he was an organ donor, so for 3 days, just, you know, he was a very popular sponsored skateboarder in Atlanta. And for days, just kids just came to see him. And he looked like he was just sleeping. He had beautiful hair. He just was a beautiful kid. I mean, inside and out, you know. And all I can say, I had 5 years at that time. Again, you know, I'm coming up on five again. Hey, here we go. I don't care. I just keep coming back. You know what I'm saying? But seriously. But I totally disconnected from everything and everybody at that time. I got sober because I had children that I wanted to raise, not the way I was living and not the way I was raised. That's why I came here. And I would sit in meetings and stuff that I've heard for years. I would think, kiss my ass. If you just stay sober and do the next right thing, everything will work out. And it's like, it don't always. But if you just stay sober and do the next right thing, you will stay sober. You will stay sober, you know. Hang on. But I did, on the weekend of his birthday, he died on the 14th of July. The following May, I drank again. And I just could not see. I couldn't even love my kids. I couldn't love anyone. I was so hurt. I can't even express. There are some women in here who know what that pain is like. And I can't express to you what that pain is like. I hope that nobody in here ever has to go through it. It was horrible. And I sat for months. And, God love Bill. I sat for months and smoked hundreds and thousands of cigarettes and never changed out of my clothes, except my pajamas, except to go to work. And he would just say, you want me to bake you some cookies? Or, you know, I'm like, hence I'm fat again. But, he was wonderful. He was wonderful. And there was no, you might not be. Once I drank, I was, it was bad. It was bad from day one, you know. And somehow held on to my job for 6 months, but it was a shit show. And my son, who had had a heroin problem, and he was thick in it. I mean, they were 18 months apart. They were so close, so close. They did, I mean, they were just like twins. I mean, they were just so, like, I can't even explain to y'all, you know. It was just very difficult for all of us. I mean, my youngest son totally looked up to him because he's a skateboarder too. And so I was just running the streets and being a nut, and my son got put in jail, my middle son, Austin, and I started going to see him, and he wanted to get sober, and I reached out to Warren and JJ, and they went up and did their magic, but he was changing, you know, and I wasn't, and he called me the day he got out of jail. He was supposed to go to the extension. I was high as a kite, went and got him over to the extension, and within a couple of weeks, the manager of my favorite bar dropped me off at my car at 12 o'clock noon. I had not had any sleep, done plenty of meth, but and was just drinking and just ridiculous. And I guess from that time to 4 o'clock, I got a banana split and then hit a couple of cars. And, you know, it was just... I had been going to court with Austin, and all these guys were getting caught for meth. And I'm thinking, it's so little. How do they get caught with it? You know, I'm high and in court with him. And then after I had the wreck, the cop unzipped my thing, and I'm like, oh, that's probably getting caught. That was first thought that came to my mind. It's like, oh, okay, I get it. But I mean, I was coming off of everything. Methadone, meth, alcohol, Xanax, and they put me in jail. I was in DSEG, is it, for 17 days. Lovely DSEG. But I was hurting really bad. But and initially, I just was not, you know, they're treating me terrible. You know how we are. They're horrible to me, you know. Luckily, no one was hurt, but after a couple of days, you know, that thing, it's like, oh my God, I am a selfish bitch, you know, and that kicked in and started going to church and jail and going to reading. And thank God for Carmen. She put her damn house up to get my ass out. I mean, you know, she got me out. She got me out. And Austin was sobering up. And for the next 6 months, you know, we were going to meetings together. He was just like this sweet little boy that he always was, you know. And they were never really bad when they were using. They just were what we are, you know. They were never really that disrespectful to me. And so we got sober together for like the next year, and he started having some trouble, and Corey came and got him one night. He was using, brought him back to my house. And I watched him that whole night to make sure he was still breathing. And the next morning, he got up and said he was going to go to see his girlfriend. And I never saw him again. You know, laid down to take a nap. And never could get him to answer the phone again. And we looked for him for 3 days down in the bluffs, and we found him. They hid him under like about 15 tires, and I was able to take the tires off and hold my son before they came. That's what this disease does to us. Is I don't even. Anyway, that is, it, you know, that's part of my story. That's what happened. And the love that he gave me, and the, you know, just the renewed sense of this program that he gave me by him seeing it for the first time, and all the love is how I stayed. You know, I didn't disconnect again. And everybody just loved me. They have just, y'all have absolutely loved me through it. And, you know, I don't even know what to say. All the things that we talk about, the stuff that Dana said, you know, that is how I look. That's, for the most part of my life since 1994, I've lived like that for the most part. And I didn't know how to live before I came here. I had no idea. I grew up in a lot of chaos. And thanks to y'all, those two boys that I just shared about did have a good mother. They have a good mother. And the, anyway, you know, today, I get to see people like a little boy that was at my house many times, has 2 years right now. You know, the boy that was sitting, I got two of them that were, one was in jail, one was at the extension. You know, they're here and they're sober and they're a huge part of my life. And I still have a son who has been through hell. That he was, thank you. He was, you know, they all three were molded by what I learned here. And even though they're as sad, is they had very good lives. They did. And Preston, through everything that I learned here, we're able to have open dialogue about everything. Everything. You know, and he's taken his journey and but I'm able to, because of y'all, I'm able to help him with it, and I'm not just, you know, I have some friends that came all the way from Blue Ridge tonight to hear me. You know, I have another family that God gave to me too, and it's just, you know, it's a sad story, but it's full of love and joy and it just all and not everything in between. And I'm gonna stay here and keep helping anyone that I can. You know, anyone that I can. And I really, Danny, thank you for asking me to come tonight. And I love you. I love all you guys. I mean, there's so many faces in here that were here in 1994. You know? Anyway, I'm done.